How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord, our God Almighty. Our souls long and even faint for the courts of the Lord. And God, if they don't long, we pray for the grace to have that longing for your presence. Our hearts, our flesh sing for joy to the living God. And so, Lord, we pray for the grace to have our hearts set ablaze with a passion for your name today. We ask that you would teach our flesh, teach our bodies to sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. At your altars, O Lord of hosts, my God, my King. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, for they are ever singing your praise. Lord, we long for the day where we will finally see you, that we may finally be set free from this world that is bound by the sin of Adam, by the curse of the fall. And we long for the day where we will be able to fully experience what it was like to be alive in Christ. And so come, Lord, we pray for your grace to awaken spirits, awaken hearts. And God, I ask for the grace to speak your word with faithfulness that will bring life to its hearers, bring salvation to the lost, sanctify your saints. May this congregation come alive today because of your living word that was heard and digested. So God, I surrender myself to you. I ask for your strength right now. Fill me, anoint me, Holy Spirit, preach through me today so that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, the thoughts that go through my mind would exalt Jesus and bring honor to your name. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this has been quite the season of uncertainty the past few weeks. With the threats from North Korea to the Boston bombings, few places in the world feel safe anymore. You know, during the threats from North Korea, I had a lot of my friends in this country say, Eddie, I want to move back to the U.S. I don't feel safe here. And then after the Boston bombings, a lot of my friends in the U.S. were like, Eddie, I want to move to Korea. I don't feel safe here. You know, we're living in a new season of uncertainty. We're living in a world that is not as safe as it once was. You know, I remember when I was young in an elementary school that I would look outside my window, my bedroom window, on a warm blue sky summer day when we're out of school, and I would just love looking at the breeze blowing through the trees and just seeing the wind bring about such peace and comfort for my young soul. But also, during that same time period, I remember very clearly of how peaceful I felt our neighborhood was. I lived in the suburbs of the northwest part of Chicago. And hearing on the news about wars in the Middle East and the unrest that was happening, and I remember seeing images of boys throwing rocks and other boys carrying guns, and I'd be like, man, I can't even imagine what it would be like to live in such an unsafe, unpredictable neighborhood. But that's what our world has become for a lot of us. The neighborhoods that we grew up in aren't as safe as they once were. You know, we're also experiencing the effects of climate change that is happening globally as well. And it was reported recently that Korea, 50 or 60 years from now, will become a more tropical place. When we're in our nursing homes, you know, we'll be able to enjoy the warmer weather here, I guess. So many things are uncertain in the world that we live in. Seasons are coming, seasons are going, seasons are unstable. But one thing that is certain is our God. You see, our God is unchanging. Our God is our rock. Our God is our firm foundation on which we put our trusts. And so it is important, as you realize more and more things are unstable, relationships are unstable, right? Our jobs are unstable. They go through all these different changes, different seasons. It is crucial that you realize that as you go through different seasons in life, that you learn to look to the one who is stable, who is strong, who is faithful through it all. It is important for us to learn to look at all of life and its seasons through the lens of faith in Christ. Last week we looked at the importance of learning how to live each day. As we see and savor God and his many gifts within our lives each day. So instead of living in the past or living in the future, learning how to see and behold God, how he is a gift in our lives and how he has blessed our lives in so many good ways. So that's what we looked at last week. And today, we want to continue our study through the book of Ecclesiastes, and we will look at the different seasons of life that come into our lives and behold the God who is Lord over them all. So I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 15 as we behold the God of all seasons. Follow along with me in your outlines as well. And the first thing that we learn in our passage today is that there are different seasons for everything. So everyone repeat, there are different seasons for everything. All right, so that's important for us to understand. That everything in life will have different seasons. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 and following says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." So God has a proper time for everything, and God has a perfect time for everything within our lives. And now these next verses form a poem, and it's actually a very famous poem, this passage that we're going to be looking at today. In fact, it was John F. Kennedy's favorite Bible verse. And also different groups, both in the Christian world and in the secular music world, have turned this poem into songs. And let's look at this poem a little bit. Verses 2 and following, it says, "A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace." There is a right time for everything under heaven. That is the essence of this poem. And throughout Scripture and throughout Proverbs and throughout the wisdom literature, it makes it clear that the wise person is able to see and discern seasons of life. Proverbs 6:6 says, "Look to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise." Now, I always thought initially when I read this, I thought that was very strange. It's like, why are ants considered wise in the Bible? I mean, they're small. They seem insignificant. They make a mess during your picnics. And if you're not careful, you'll easily kill them all. Right? So why are ants considered wise in Scripture? Well, they are wise because they know what season they are in. And that is why Scripture lifts them up with wisdom. Proverbs 30:25 also says, "Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer." You see, they are wise because they know what season they are in, and they live accordingly. They know that there is a time to store up food because winter is coming. So when it's picnic season, they get busy. Wise people know what time it is in life, and they live in light of that season. You see, the wise student knows that it is a season of storing up knowledge. The wise seminary student knows that it is not a time simply to dive into ministry, but a time to dive deep into theology. You know, I know a lot of friends when I was in seminary, they pictured ministry as the ultimate. The reason why they're in seminary is to hurry up and get that degree so that they could finally do what they want to do, and that is ministry. And so a lot of them, as they study, they also do ministry at a local church. But because of their desire to do ministry, they neglect their studies, or they forget it altogether for some of them, and they hurry up. They want to hurry up and do ministry. But as they did that, they missed out on the wisdom of their professors and the classes that were offered because they did not discern the season that they were in. You see, the wise person knows what season they are in, and they live in light of that. How? By making the most of every opportunity. So are you single? A lot of our ministry members here, a lot of you in our ministry are single. Is this the season you are in right now? Don't waste the season of singleness. Don't live in the future, waiting, hoping, wanting, longing, living in the future to such an extent where you cannot wait to get that relationship. Don't live in the future and thereby forfeit living today. Realize this is my season now. Embrace it, live in it, and by living with undivided devotion in your marriage to the Lord. That is how you are to live. You are to live with undivided passion, devotion in your marriage to the Lord as you are single. Take advantage of the season of your life by taking risks, by taking steps of faith for the kingdom of God. As Paul tells the single people in the church in Corinth, are you single? Then learn how to live with undivided, unparalleled pursuit and passion for the things of God. You know, we have several OEM members who are prayerfully preparing on being part of our church plant that we are seeking to do later this year, Lord willing, giving up months and even years of their lives to bless the nation of Thailand in a region of great vulnerability with the gospel. And I honor them and I bless them because I see that as a wise use of their single season. As a single person, you have different opportunities that a married person or people with children do not have. You have a new level of freedom. You have a certain unique level of opportunity and freedom to be able to take risks, to do crazy things for the kingdom of God before you have a spouse to tell you how crazy you really are. And you want to take advantage of that season. For all you single people here, invest your single season wisely by being a fool for Christ. Learn how to live in such a way with radical devotion, with radical steps of faith, by going to places that as a married person, maybe it would be difficult for you to go. By doing things that as a person with children, as a parent, it might be difficult to do. The wise person will see the season that they are in and live accordingly. Amen. Are you married? Is this the season that God has called you to right now? Don't waste this special season by also daydreaming of past seasons. Don't waste this special season of being refined into the image of Christ. You see, marriage is one of God's greatest tools to reveal our selfishness that will drive us to the foot of the cross for mercy and grace. Marriage is one of God's greatest tools to conform us into the image of Christ for our spouse and because of our spouse. You know, it's always interesting to see the changes that happen in engaged people, lovey-dovey, to reality several months later. And sometimes when I do counseling or when I do the wedding ceremony. It's like you want to tell them reality, but you know they can't see it until they go through it. And so don't waste the season. God, in His sovereignty, has brought you into the season. Learn to live fully within the season. Are you in an extended winter season, like all of Korea? Are you in an extended season of great suffering? Learn to embrace the season. Learn to find joy right now because of Jesus. Learn to rejoice in the Lord always and in all circumstances to have Jesus as the reason you rejoice. Otherwise, you will be restless, saying, I can't wait for the summer season. But if you train yourself to always long for something beyond your current circumstance, you will always be longing. So for the one in your extended winter season longing for the summer, when summer comes, you know what you will be doing? Because you trained yourself to do it. You've trained yourself not to be content in your circumstances. So just as you long for the summer during your winter, when summer comes, in the heat of the summer, you're going to long for winter. That is the nature of the human heart, to be discontented because of circumstances. But you grow in your faith and you grow in your love for Jesus when you learn to find joy beyond your circumstances, but because you have Jesus. You see, that discontent is not living. So don't waste this season. Be wise. Live fully in the season that you are in today. You see, the message throughout Ecclesiastes that we've been looking at last week and this week, it really is a message of teaching us how to live. You see, Satan wants us to waste our lives by wasting our seasons. Because do you realize that we're not living if we're not living in this moment? As many media, through great inspirational movies, tell us, all men die, but not all men truly live. And that's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to die without ever truly living. You see, Satan wants us to daydream into fantasies, but Jesus wants us fully alive by savoring ultimate realities. Don't live in your fantasies of past, present, future, things that you can't grasp. Live in ultimate realities, and Jesus is the ultimate reality. You see, living in the past is not living today. Living in the future is not living today. The only way to live today is to live right now. Don't just wait for the season to be over. Don't try to change your season with your own effort. Why not? Because God is sovereign over every season. Everyone repeat, God is sovereign over every season. And you need to understand that right now. Because a lot of you, you are in a season that was unexpected, and also you are in a season that is a lot more difficult than you think you can handle. And so you want this season to be over. You want to pass on next, please, as soon as possible. But God is sovereign over every season within our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9, it says, what gain has the worker from his toil? I've seen the busyness that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. And look at verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. God has made everything beautiful in its proper time. So it is saying that the right thing done at the right time by living right in the moment is a beautiful thing in the eyes of God. It's revealing that everything has a purpose. This season that you are in, though you wish you were not in, has a purpose. You have a divine purpose. And if God is sovereign over every season of your life, it also means that every second of your life is under the sovereign hand of God. In suffering and in sunshine, every second of every season is under God's control. You see, all events in life are determined by God and beyond human control. And in His sovereignty, He makes it all beautiful in His time. Verse 11 again, He makes everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity into man's heart. You are wired for eternity. You are wired for worship. You are wired to know God. The Shorter Westminster Catechism states that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That is why you were created, to bring Him glory and enjoy Him. And by enjoying Him, bring Him glory. The compass in every person's heart points north. It points to Jesus. Why? Because you are made for eternity. So He has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. And so now Solomon also confesses that in the midst of God's sovereignty, there is also deep mystery. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We cannot fully understand the ways of God. It's like trying to explain physics to a puppy. So if you ever played with a puppy, and let's say you have a silver water dish that you have given this puppy water, and suddenly it is outside, it is sunny, and this sunshine is now blinding this dog's eyes, and you're trying to move it out of it, but this puppy moves it back, and so you're trying to explain the physics behind why the glare is happening. You see, little puppy, this bowl is concave, and so because of the concave nature, when the sun is angling this way, the concave angle will now blind your eyes. So that's why I'm moving it. But let's say we flip the bowl over. Now it is convex, and convex can't help you, but there's no water for this bowl to hold anymore. And so the dog might still be smiling at you, wagging his tail, ruff, ruff, you know? Now that's great. But there is a pretty big intellectual gap between that puppy and your brain. And just as we realize, of course, this puppy will not understand why I'm trying to move its water bowl, we need to understand that God is God and you are not. That He is creator, we are creation. And there will forever be a pretty big intellectual gap between God and us. And so because of that, there needs to be room for faith to trust God, even when we cannot fully comprehend all of His ways. Amen. And we need to allow within our lives a level of mystery within God's sovereignty. That yes, God works all things for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We trust Him, even though sometimes in our seasons, we do not fully understand it. He is God, and we are not. So we will not be able to fully understand the ways of God or why He allows certain things to happen, especially in seasons of suffering, and especially in seasons of loss and death. We will not understand it, but we do not minimize it. We may grieve, but we still trust that God is sovereign over all things, over every season, even death. And the reason why I say even suffering and death is because that is the ultimate place where God came into this world to show us the path to life. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, at the right season of opportunity, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters." He shows us the ultimate example of God's sovereignty over all seasons. that at just the right time, God allowed His Son, Jesus, to be born into the world and to die upon the cross. That in everything, God is sovereign. And that is why we honor life in this ministry. That we understand that God is sovereign over every conception of birth. That is why we honor birth. That is why we honor babies and dedicate them unto the Lord. It's because we acknowledge that it is God who gifts these cells together to be multiplying within the womb of a mother. We honor life. From the womb to the tomb, all of life is sacred because all of life is gift from the Lord. Amen. At the fullness of time, at just the right time, God allowed Jesus to be born and to die to clearly articulate to us that He is sovereign over all things, bringing about life and salvation. God is sovereign over every season. So there are different seasons for everything, and God is sovereign over each of them. Therefore, how are we to live in light of this? Well, in every season, we are to live for the Lord. Can you repeat after me? In every season, live for the Lord. That is how we are to approach it. So there's a season. There's going to be seasons in your marriage that are brighter than others. There are seasons in your workplace that will be brighter than others. In everything, there is a proper season. And God is sovereign over everything. But no matter what season you are in, how are you to respond to that season? You are to live for the Lord. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. It says, I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. And this is a parallel message that we looked at last week. This is God's gift to man. So instead of waiting for this season of your life to be over, live fully in the one that you are in. You see, you cannot control the times. They are set by God. Therefore, concentrate on what season God has placed you in right now and fully live in it, for that is God's gift for you. Verse 14, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor can anything be taken away from it. God has done it so that people fear before Him. That which is already has been, and that which is to be already has been. And God seeks what has been driven away. So whatever God does endures forever. The beginning of verse 14, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. So how should we live in such a way to make sure that our lives are significant? Connect your life to God. Be on mission with God, because whatever God is involved with will live, endure forever. So if you want your life to have true purpose and significance, be on mission with God, because His work endures forever. Learn to submit each second of your life unto the Lord in faith, in obedience, in submission to God. Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, had a sign that she placed over her kitchen sink that read, Divine service done here three times a day. Why did she do this? She wanted to remind herself that even her work at home had significance for God. Be it cooking or cleaning, eating or drinking, it carried eternal significance when it was done unto the Lord, with dedication unto the Lord. And she wanted to remind herself that being a stay-at-home mom was significant to God, because she was doing divine work, because she dedicated that unto the Lord. So whether you eat or drink, or cook or clean, or change diapers, or trade stocks, do it all. Do it all to the glory of God's name. She learned to connect her daily work to God, and she was able to see eternal significance as a result. Nicholas Herman was born in France in 1605, and as a teen, he fought in the French army. He got wounded during the war and was lame in his feet for the rest of his life. He met Christ at age 18, but because of the lameness that was a physical challenge for him, his biggest fear was living an insignificant life. Others, his friends, his peers, were doing such productive work. They had such great jobs that had great meaning. And so he wrestled with trying to find significance throughout the journey of his life. So at the age of 50, he decided to join a Carmelite monastery in Paris. But also because of his handicap, he was assigned to the kitchen. And he hated it. He found kitchen work to be so humbling and insulting. Cleaning the floors, cleaning the dishes, he hated it. And so he would make sure that everybody knew. Right? So I don't like this job. And one day, he was thinking about his attitude that was affecting everybody. Like they all knew he hated what he was doing. He realized, I'm not enjoying life, but also he realized, I'm not glorifying God. And so it hit him one day. He realized that God's presence was not only with him, God's presence was in him. And he decided to begin living in light of God's presence in his life. And he realized that even in the most menial task, if it was done for God's glory, it became holy work. Why? Because wherever he went, God was there. And that became holy ground. So in the heat of the summer in the kitchen, or in the backyard gardens picking vegetables, or even cleaning the bathrooms, it became holy ground because God was there. And he started to live in light of God's presence instead. And then his attitude changed radically. He started to be filled with songs, with joy, with laughter, with happiness, because he decided to begin living his life with God in the picture, in God's presence. His attitude changed, and others began to notice. And they asked, why the change? And he began to share. And not only did he begin to share how he started to perceive things differently, he started to write down these thoughts. And those small thoughts turned into a small book, which also his peers gave him a new nickname. Brother Lawrence. You may be familiar with his booklet, The Practice of the Presence of God, which is still being read and impacting lives over 400 years later. A helper in a monastery kitchen is still discipling believers over 400 years later because he learned to live for the Lord in every season of his life. More than that, he learned to live in light of God's presence, the reality of God, in every moment of his life. There is power in God's presence, and there is power in those who become aware of his presence. Look at verse 14 again. It says, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing nor anything taken from it. So we cannot add or take away anything from God's ultimate work or purpose because our God is in control. Our God is sovereign over all seasons, every second of our lives. I want to read for you Psalm 46, which declares, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be removed into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in her midst. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with her. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what He has brought, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. It is a reminder that God rules over all seasons of our lives. God rules over all seconds of our lives. God rules over every nation. God is Lord over North Korea. God is Lord over Boston. God is Lord over Chechnya. God is Lord over the Middle East. He is not surprised by the Boston bombings. He is not worried about North Korea. He is not anxious about tomorrow because He is in control. And if He is in control over every season, over every circumstance, over every second of our lives, then we learn to trust in Him. So we do not fear tomorrow. We fear the one who holds tomorrow in His hands. Verse 14, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken away from it. God has done it so that people fear before Him. Because if we fear God, we have nothing else to fear ever again. And it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. So Lady Wisdom is calling out to you today. Do you hear her? She's saying, learn to look to Jesus in every season you are in. Learn to trust Him. Learn to thank Him. And learn to live by living for Him right now. In this season of your life and in every season of your life. Because the one that you are looking to is the Lord over every season. Let's pray. Can we pray right now? And can we learn to surrender the season that God has called you to live in right now? Can you surrender that to the Lord with faith, with thanksgiving? Can you learn to trust Him? And can you learn to live today? The message that God is clearly speaking within Ecclesiastes so far is that too many people do not know how to live. Can you learn to surrender this season of your life to the Lord? With thanksgiving, with faith, and with a heart that will choose to live in this season for the Lord. Let's surrender our lives. Let's surrender this moment to the Lord in faith right now. Let's pray together.